It is 5:06 on the Central Coast on this Thursday, March 26, 2020. I'm Dave Congleton. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're here all the way till 7 o'clock during the 6 o'clock hour today. We'll welcome back Jack Keller. He just got back from New Zealand. He asked for the chance to talk to us about how they're responding to the COVID-19 virus in New Zealand, what his experience was like. I'm game. As we bring Lance in, let me give you the latest from the Associated Press. House leaders sought to expedite the emergency $2 trillion relief bill aimed at mitigating the financial havoc caused by the coronavirus pandemic amid uncertainty about whether a renegade lawmaker could delay sending the measure to President Trump. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy agreed to approve the measure with a voice vote Friday that would not require all 430 current members of the House to travel to the Capitol, given that two lawmakers have contracted the disease and others are self-quarantining due to exposure to confirmed carriers. Anyway, I want to talk a little bit about this so-called $2 trillion relief bill. Always good to have Mr. Lance Parker on this broadcast. He joins us now. Lance, good afternoon.
Dave, how are you today?
We're good. How are you, Lance?
Good. I'm not too bad, except these allergies are kicking my butt right now. So other than that, it seems like everywhere I go, it's high pollen count and just having allergy attacks.
As long as you don't start coughing.
No cough. I mean, my eyes won't stop watering. that's the killer right now is the eyes won't stop watering, and you look at them, and they're bloodshot, and every time I travel, like I was just in Albuquerque, and I get these alerts. Oh, high pollen. Oh, I'm in Flagstaff. Oh, high pollen. Oh, I'm here. Oh, high pollen. It's like, great. I can't escape it. So, but no, other than that, I'm fine. Just it's been a quiet week, actually, with the market the way it's been going.
Before I get into the topic at hand, what are you hearing from your clients?
You know, this week, zero. And I think a lot of it is they've kind of gone through this. A lot of them have gone through this before, and they're seeing some of the green coming back, and they kind of understand what's going on. But a week and a half ago, not so much last week, but the prior week, when everything was falling off the shelf, I have kind of a handful of clients that I know who are going to call, so I actually get out ahead of them and call them first. But I actually had some other people who I usually don't hear from just wanting to make sure that, you know, everything's going to be okay. I'm still around, you know, just want to hear my voice. So a lot of it is just kind of hand-holding, reassuring them why we're doing what we're doing, reassuring them on the philosophy of we've been through this before, you know, just kind of getting them to rethink the panic and look at the long-term view.
Are they beginning to panic?
No, I have had zero client go to cash. I've had zero client leave through all of this. And like I said, most of them have been through this. I mean, I have clients that go back 20-plus years, so they've gone through 9/11. They went through 08, and you know I tell them all along, I said, we're going to go through these, at least two more of these, say in the next 20 years easily, and so we just, you know, we know they're going to be happening, and what type of opportunity can we take from this if we've got cash, if we've got assets that can go in and maybe shore up and buy some more equities, we will. Is there tax loss selling that we can take advantage of right now that might help in the future? So basically looking at it not from a panic standpoint, but kind of on a long-term view, because everything I do for my clients is on that long-term view.
And then the other question, Lance, is that I'm going to be getting a $1,200 check. What should I do with it?
Spend it at your local coffee shop. You know, that's really what this is supposedly going to be used for. Is I find it interesting. Everybody's going to get not everybody, but people are going to get $1,200, but we can't go out and spend it. Because nothing's open. I know. So it's, but that's really what this is for. I think if people remember, I want to say we got $650 back in 08, and it was like, you know, go out and spend it. It's like, we need to get dollars moving around. The gentleman, from Lynn's that you had on another day.
John Lynn.
Talked about, yeah, John Lynn. He talked about how many local suppliers that he uses. So I go and buy a pie from Lynn's. So my $14 or $15 or however much it is, part of that goes to the local vendors that support him. Is it the janitorial services that come and help clean his restaurant? You know, who does he pay? That $14 or $15 I give him is broken down. And then those people then can pay their staff that can go out and pay for daycare. So, I mean, it's that whole cycle of moving that money through the economy. And right now, the money is not moving through the economy. And so the hope is by giving $1,200 to people, that they'll go out and get that money going through the economy. The problem is there's where can I spend it? I can spend it at Starbucks. I can spend it at Vons. I can spend it, you know, at Black Horse. You know, if they're, you know, it's the places that you would want to spend them. Really, you know, it's hard to get it out there right now. So the hope is that maybe some of these places will be open, that I can now go and take my $1,200 and get it running through the economy.
Yeah, but the federal government wants me to spend that check. That's the main thing.
That's the main thing. Yeah, not put it in your savings account, not paying down debt. They want you to go out and spend it. That's the whole reason why we're taking $2 trillion, basically printing up $2 trillion, and hope that those dollars get moving through the economy.
It's amazing when you just stop and think about it, the concept. We're not talking about millions. We're not talking about billions. We're talking about trillion, and not one, but two. $2 trillion. Yeah. That's a lot of cash.
That is a tremendous amount, because when you think about it, our whole economy is only about $20 trillion. So we're talking 10% of our whole economy. The whole economy of the United States, which is the biggest economy in the world, you know, $2 trillion in you know, 99% of the other countries would absolutely flood. And, you know, multiple times the size of the other economies. And we're taking 10% of our economy and basically shoving it down, you know, getting it out there for people to either stay afloat or to spend.
And what do you think, Lance? What's your crystal ball tell you? Is it going to make a difference?
No. And I don't think that the thing about this is it won't make a difference economically wise getting out there, because this is going to be a human nature problem, because we had a real good economy going in. You know, by the end of the year, unemployment was historically low. We had good interest rates. Things were cranking right along. And if anything, giving us money isn't going to necessarily change our human nature, our belief, our thoughts going forward. That's the thing that's going to take time to change. And it will probably never get back to the way it was, not for generations. And the reason I say that is there's people right now who did not go through 9/11 and did not go through the 08 crisis. There were young people going through the 08 crisis that have never been through anything like this. And it's almost like you've got to go generations to kind of change our behavior back to the way it was, say, December of 2019. And so that's the money won't change that human nature. It's we're always going to be kind of having this little scar tissue of either this fear, or it's like it's a hoax, or it's a conspiracy, or it's this, or it's that. We're always going to carry this scar tissue of this, like anybody who's old enough carries the scar tissue of 9/11.
All right, we're in conversation with Lance Parker, getting his reaction to this $2 trillion relief package that the federal government is putting together. Welcome back and chat some more. Welcome your phone calls as well. I'm Dave Congleton. You're listening to AM 920 FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. Lance Parker is on Hometown Radio. We're talking about this $2 trillion federal relief package off the Stolberg Law KVC text line. Lance, listener writes, the money is going to be spent on paying our collective exorbitant rents, and also the big box stores are going to undercut locally owned, and the mom and pops are going to suffer even more as folks have that money stretch further at Walmart and Starbucks, sadly. What do you think?
Oh, you know, it's interesting somebody wrote that, because just the other day, and I can't remember where I was listening to this, the prediction is when this all comes, when the dust all settles, we're only going to have three retailers left, major retailers left here in the United States. And it's going to be Walmart, Costco, and Amazon. And because we are slowly switching over, because Walmart not only has the stores, but they have a huge online presence now. Amazon, we all know what Amazon is, and Costco for the level of bulk and the deals that we can get, are they're just going to truly undercut the grocery stores, the Kroger's, the Vons, the Ralph's, things like that. So it is interesting. But everybody is going to get money. The majority of the money is going to be getting to small businesses and in the hands of individuals. Because, you know, just as an example, the airlines and really the airlines, which also includes cargo carriers like FedEx, UPS that move stuff, that whole industry, not only passenger planes, but cargo planes, things of that nature, are going to get like $58 billion. Well, $58 billion on $2 trillion is like 2.5%. Okay? So we're talking a very small portion of this. I mean, think about that. You know, is my math right? Was that right? 10%? Yeah. It's $58 billion is only 2.5%.
All right, but you're defending the bailout of the airlines? We needed to do that?
Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see, because there's an article that talks about Southwest might not take the bailout, because with the bailout, if you take some of the money, the federal money, to kind of keep you afloat, there's going to be requirements like keeping people employed, as well as a possible equity stake in your company later on. And Southwest is thinking we might be able to go this alone, because they were one of the airlines that was in the strongest position going into this, and they might be able to do it by cutting employees, and that way they can trim the fat, let's say, and still stay afloat without having any assistance from the government, which when this is all said and done, they might actually come out, you know, down the road, the strongest airline still out there.
I noticed that
American or United.
They're not going to help the cruise lines.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things about the cruise lines is, and I could be 100% wrong in this, but I would be surprised if there are any ships that are actually U.S. flagged ships. I haven't been on that many cruises in my life, maybe a half a dozen, you know, over the last 30 plus years. And none of the ships were ever flagged, U.S. flagged ships. So that, I think, is one of the reasons why we're probably not bailing out the cruise companies.
But we are going to bail out the airlines.
You know, as the airlines, and really, yeah, we are. We're going to bail out the airlines. We're going to help FedEx. We're going to help UPS, DHL, some of the bigger carriers like that. They're going to be able to tap into this $58 billion. I'm looking here, $25 billion in grants, $25 billion in loans, and $8 billion divided between loans and grants for airport contractors like caterers, you know, people who come onto the planes and clean them and stock them and doing that. So it's just not the airlines. It's all kind of all the ancillary things that go along with the airline industry. You know, if you fly, there's a lot of people behind the scenes that you don't see that are reliant on having planes in the air.
So they're going to get $58 billion. The airlines are going to get $58 billion. Hospitals are going to get $100 billion.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting that the hospitals, you know, and I don't want to get political on all this, but I really wonder why our state here in California has been so underprepared for all of this, because we should have been well prepared with the Department of Health here in the state of California, because that's who is in essence is in charge of our hospitals, is the state of California. And so I don't know why we were so underprepared for this. Now, I do know that up until, I'm trying to remember the date, we were actually one of the states that were under the provision of the Certificate of Need Law. And there's still like 39 states that are under the provision of the Certificate of Need Law, which is actually, you know, so criminal. I can't believe that we still have that out there. But California got out of it, I want to say, in either the late 80s or the early 90s. But why hasn't why hasn't Sacramento been preparing for something like this?
Lance Parker,
that's what I want to know.
On this broadcast, talking about the $2 trillion relief package currently being prepared by the federal government. What would have been the consequences if this hadn't happened, if the $2 trillion package isn't being formulated? What would happen to us?
Well, I really think that had we... One of the things is, over the last 80 years, we have been more and more reliant on the federal government for these types of issues. And if you think about all the bailouts or the programs or the, you know, we're here to help you, it's created a level of dependency that we are all on, that if something like this major happens, we have to go to the federal government for help. And that's been one of the problems. And it's interesting, because if you really think about all of this, we're screaming to the federal government to help us, but it really shows that they can't help us on a day-to-day basis. It's like we've really got to take this whole initiative on ourselves of staying healthy, of making sure our immune system is the best, making sure that we have ample assets to weather a storm, because without having taken care of ourselves, we're so reliant on the federal government, who really can't help us, because people are going to die from this, people are going to lose their jobs from this, people are going to have economic disasters because of this. And we think, oh, because we can rely on the federal government, we don't have to, in essence, be responsible.
All right, we're in conversation with Lance Parker. We've got California Headline News and ABC Radio News. Craig checks traffic and weather together, or traffic. Traffic. Wow, really, Dave? Yes. We'll welcome phone calls for Lance and continue our conversation. This is Hometown Radio. State Assemblyman Jordan Cunningham is going to join us tomorrow. Also, we'll have a pet of the week, and we're going to enjoy a pot pie from Lynn's. Not sure which one it's going to be, but it doesn't matter. It will be great. Also, Cy Tenenberg will be joining us. We are here weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 on AM 920, FM 96.5. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. We are in conversation with Lance Parker about the $2 trillion federal relief package. Lance, as we come back to you, I want to go to the news item we just heard about how everybody's watching this $2 trillion package as a Band-Aid, as a way to cover this gap and help the small businesses. And I'm reflecting back what you said in the last segment about the article you read, where when all the dust settles, we're going to have three retailers. We're going to have Costco and Amazon
Walmart. And Amazon, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Small business, I mean, it doesn't look good for small business, does it?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, just as this is 100% anecdotal, I can't remember the last time I bought a Christmas gift here in town. Literally, because everything I do is on Amazon. And that was before this whole thing. Because of the convenience, the ease, the cost, that you name it, it was pretty much all on Amazon. And then when things started to shut down, everybody started turning to Amazon. I mean, I was hearing stories of people that don't even know how to work a computer. They were getting shipments from Amazon. And so this is going to be and it's interesting because one of the few stocks that even on down days that was going up was Amazon. And so this is going to be a huge boom for companies like Amazon. And I know that, I believe it's Susan Vaughn has had she's in the past either had eBay or an Amazon kind of storefront.
Yeah.
On one of them.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to start happening with small businesses. They might have a small presence here, but their online presence is going to be huge on Amazon or something like an eBay or an Amazon.
All right, Lance Parker on this broadcast. If you want in on the conversation, join us as we take a look at this $2 trillion package from the federal government. Phone lines are open at 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Off the Stolberg Law KVC text line, from September of last year to February this year was the time it took for the Democrats to use up Congress for impeachment. This distracted Congress from doing anything about coronavirus sooner. If there was no impeachment inquiry, we would not be where we are right now.
What were they going to do? I'd like to know what were they going to do between September and February? Yeah, they wasted a lot of time. I would have liked to have seen them pass some good legislation on maybe health care or maybe drug prices or maybe infrastructure. But what would they have done?
All right. Let's take some calls. So, we got calls here. We got Bob in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Lance.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
In talking about this bill not really helping out small businesses, I don't feel very much sympathy, but I think the people that are probably going to suffer more will be the landlords.
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right.
Bob, make your case.
Well, if a small business isn't going to get relief, they're not getting revenue, they've got fixed expenses. They've got rent, utilities, licenses, permits, taxes. Everything else is still going to continue rolling on, even though they don't have a revenue stream. Their single biggest chunk, most likely, is their rent. And, they're talking about possible having the big banks delay mortgage payments and whatnot for a couple months or whatever. I just don't see the landlords willing to negotiate that sort of a situation. And, I mean, if you look at the number of offerings downtown that have been vacant for years, some of them, they just never get anybody going in there. I have to wonder, what do these landlords expect?
Lance?
Well, it's interesting. Two things there. I will say that my landlord reached out to me and said, hey, if you need help, let me know. I said, don't worry about it. I'm good. Everything's fine. But it's interesting because Cheesecake Factory today has like 388 stores around the nation, and they just sent a notice out saying, we can't pay our rent on April 1. And that's going to be huge. When you got companies of that size not being able to pay their rent in the malls or wherever, which then also starts trickling down because a lot of fixed income people and a lot of fixed income investments are tied to real estate properties to create income. So it's going to have a huge trickle down effect going rippling through, and these landlords are going to have to start thinking, hey, I've got a great tenant here. I've got to work with them. at the expense of losing out. And I think, Bob, you've got a good point. We've got, just locally here, we do have a lot of vacancies, but some of these have got to start working with the tenants and say, you've been a good tenant, I'm going to help you out. We're going to maybe suspend a couple of months or a month or cut your rent down or whatever, because if we have massive vacancies, they're not only going to lose their monthly income, but going forward, they're going to have to start lowering rent to get to attract new people.
What else from you, Bob?
Well, the other part of it would be my largest concern with this stimulus package is there's not enough for the lower tier people of the economy, either the extremely small business person and or the person who doesn't make very much. I think more emphasis was focused on corporate bailouts, and thankfully we got a little bit of oversight on it this time. I am very glad that apparently there's language in the bill that prohibits Trump from having any of his businesses bailed out by this bill. So that is encouraging news.
Yeah, Lance, are we biased too much towards the top?
Well, I mean, there's $377 billion going to be federally guaranteed loans to small businesses. So if you run a small business, I would definitely call the Small Business Administration or talk to your bank who deals with the Small Business Administration and see what is available for you. I will tell you this. I am self-employed with no employees. I've got nothing to hang my hat on. They're not only do I not get my $1,200, I'm not going to get anything, because being self-employed, being a sole proprietor, you know, one person shop, I've got nothing.
All right, Bob, thanks for the call. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. George is on KVEC. Hi, George.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Lance.
Hey, George.
Hi, George.
I buy nothing on Amazon.com. I prefer to shop locally. I buy from the small stores, buy the local goods and services. There's a lot of consequences when you do nothing but mail order, and so I just avoid doing that. And I think this windfall that we're supposed to be getting, I have issues with that, because, I mean, if America can't just hold their breath for 1 month. We need to have a $2 trillion debt for that. I think we have a much bigger problem that we're not addressing.
I agree with George. Lance, what do you say?
You know, I'll tell you, Dave, I could hardly hear. I caught that he doesn't buy anything from Amazon. He shops locally. But that was about all I could
but
get.
But he's also suggesting that these payments aren't going to be enough. Just to covering us for 1 month isn't going to help the situation in the long term.
Of course not, and that's my whole point. These are not going to. This is not going to help. I mean, the unemployment, not only of what you're going to get from the state unemployment, but they're going to add like $600 a week to your unemployment, and they're going to extend the benefits out for 4 months if you are unemployed. The money that's going to quote unquote small businesses and or other corporations, it's to help keep people employed. So hopefully these people will still have their jobs, because you're not going to be able to get this money if you're not keeping people employed. You know, you can't go and say, hey, I need $10 million on a loan and then let everybody go. You're going to have to pay your employees. Okay. So hopefully we will not have unemployment at, I mean, 3.2 million people this last week signed up for unemployment, where the previous week we had 278,000.
What else, so George? Like 10... What else, George?
Well, as far as the rental stuff goes, I believe my tenants will be paying their rents. We've already been on fixed incomes. The rents are low, and I don't believe the intent is for people who are still working and have an income to just not pay their rent.
I'm glad you called, George. Thank you. George is arguing that he believes that people who are working should be paying their rent.
Well, you know, it's they're working now, but it's I mean, if they're working and they're paying, then they should be paying their rent. But that still doesn't mean that if you're working, you're not going to get your $1,200 check to help. And here again, it's, you know, like you, Dave, you're working, you're going to get a $1,200 check,
and
it's,
I'm paying my rent.
You're paying your rent, and you're feeding your cat, and
right.
You know, you're putting gas in your car. But by giving you an extra $1,200, they're hoping that this will then go above and beyond. Because here again, it goes back to that human nature. Right now, not only are we hunkering down, but the people who are working are thinking, the future's uncertain. I'm going to hold on to my dollars right now and maybe not go out and spend them that I might have otherwise.
Okay. We got Sean in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Dave.
Hi,
Sean. I just joined in. And hi, Lance. Lance Parker's on?
Lance Parker's on.
Yep.
Hi, Sean. Lance. My question is, you probably already talked about this freeze petition. Did you guys cover that?
No.
Okay. There's a petition that went out that was looking for 5,000 signatures to go forward towards the appropriate, I guess, areas of our state in regards to rent and leases.
Oh, do you know anything about it? Hang on, Sean. Do you know anything about this, sure. Lance, a petition to freeze the rents in California?
No, I have not heard that at all. So, I mean, to get our legislature to act on freezing rents at this time for a certain period of time?
Yeah. Yes.
I have not heard that at all, and you know, but here again, that starts going down that slippery slope, because if Sacramento gets involved like that, that temporary 6-month freeze turns into a temporary 12-month freeze that turns into a temporary forever freeze.
Sean, you like the idea?
No, actually, my where I'm coming from is I don't like the idea of delayed rent or lease, because everyone's going to, I think what you guys were talking about is that everyone's going to have to come up with double the amount a month later. Everyone wants to offer to pay in advance for things or not pay in advance for things, and then you're coming up with double either now or later in business. So there's like a lot of people that are doing buy a gift certificate, for example, and use it once everything bounces back. If you want to help our business, buy a gift certificate. John Lynn was mentioning that. And I really appreciated that idea. But in the case I'm coming from, it's like if we don't pay our rent until the end of April, then depending on when you're due, five days or 10 days later into the new month, you have to come up with another additional double the rent. And it's not like we're going to just bounce back and make the same amount as we were back in, say, February before all this started happening.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Sean, thanks for the call. So what do you do, Lance, if you can't pay your rent next week?
Well, I'll tell you, hopefully your landlord will help you either with what can you pay and renegotiate what your monthly is, or say, you know what, I'm going to give you 1 month free right now, but I mean, you're gonna be come April 1. I mean, I just sent off my rent check today for April 1st, but hopefully the landlords can, you know, they don't want to, if I were a landlord, I and technically I am with rental property up in the Bay Area, you know, I'm not sitting here gonna cut my nose off to spite my face and be hard about it and say you've got to pay your rent. It's especially if you've got good tenants.
All right.
I mean, if you've got bad tenants, this might be a blessing and say, hey, you're out.
We are with Lance Parker getting his reaction to the $2 trillion federal bailout. 805-543-8830. 800-549-5832. Don's in Arroyo Grande. Hey, Don.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Lance.
Hi.
Hi, Don.
You know, this thing is not a free ride by any extent. You know, some people are probably going to think, oh, wow, I'm going to get this $1,500 check. They've already said they're going to print more money. So if they're going to print more money, I don't know what $2 trillion is going to be to that effect, but that's going to dilute what you have in the bank, what you have invested, everything that you get for rent or anything. So this isn't a free lunch. This is going to cost us all. We're borrowing from ourselves.
Lance?
Well, you're absolutely right, and what he's talking about is inflation. You know, it's like if there's more money in everybody's hand, then everything's going to cost more, and you really don't have that much more purchasing power than you did prior to you having extra money in your hand. But the interesting thing, though, is since the 08 crisis, we've expanded and put so much money into the economy over the last 10 years without really having inflation, which I don't know why. I will tell you that right now, because you would normally believe that you put as much money, I mean, we've put close to $10 trillion in the economy up and beyond what we normally would over the last 10 years, and we have not had rampant inflation. But I understand what you're saying, Don, but I don't know if we're going to have that problem. But economically wise, and all the class I've ever had, you put extra money in the economy, you have inflation, but we haven't. And so I understand what you're saying, but I don't know if it will happen.
Don?
Well, it depends on how long this goes on, because this is a drop in the bucket if this thing goes on for 6 months to a year, which I suspect it will. And, you know, you're bailing out these corporations, but the last time we did a bailout on the auto industry, that was a payoff, because Renault took over Chevy. Renault is nobody. So it depends on how the companies treat this. If they start treating this like a bailout, and they start, you know, smaller companies that are ready to go under, and they're going to take advantage of the government so they go under tomorrow, and pocket the money under the auspices of new equipment that they know they can turn around and sell. I mean, there's all kinds of scenarios that could happen, but it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. I don't know if this is right, but if you don't do it, you've got consequences also.
All right, Don, thank you. What are you saying here, Craig?
Renault did not take over Chevy. Fiat took over Chrysler.
Okay, fair enough. On the Stolberg Law KVC text line, listener says, Lance, when our house rents are $2,000 a month, what is $1,200 going to do for us 2 months from now?
Oh, it won't do anything. We live in a very expensive area, and $1,200, you know, if they would have rated it based on kind of where you live, yeah, we would have received a lot more than $1,200, but $1,200 in Torrey, Utah is a big chunk. Okay. But I want to say something that Don and the other callers, we're saying this is a corporate bailout. There's two ways that this money is getting, not necessarily into the hands of the corporations. They're trying to get the money into the hands of working people. And whether it is, if you're still employed and making some money, you're going to get like a $1,200 check. If you're unemployed because of this, you're going to get extra $600 a week on top of what you'd get state unemployment, and you're going to get that for an additional 4 months, okay? So, and then if you are at a company, let's say United Airlines, and to keep you on payroll, they're going to give United Airlines money so that they can continue paying people who are maybe furloughed. That's where this money is. They're trying to get it down to the individual worker here in the U.S., but they're doing it in different ways. So they're not bailing out the corporations to help their balance sheet.
Let me try to squeeze it. Hang on, Lance. Captain Enthusiasm here. A listener wants to know, his wife has a green card. She's not a U.S. citizen. Will she get a check?
Yeah, you know what? I don't think so. Please don't quote me on that. I don't think so. I think it's only going to be for U.S. citizens, and I think it's going to be attached if you have a Social Security number.
All right, 30 seconds on this one. 30 seconds on this one. No inflation caused all those dollars being hoarded by the 1%. Inflation is when average Joe has more money.
I don't quite. Hoarded who? I can't talk on that one.
Let's just wrap it up. Nice job, Lance Parker. I can give you 45 seconds for a final thought.
You know, kind of just it's, you know that I am totally against government bailouts, government assistance. We should be taking care of ourselves. But we've set up our society over the last 80 years, starting back in the Great Depression with Roosevelt and the New Deal. We are so reliant on the federal government, but this really shows us that if we don't take care of ourselves, you know, whether it's be making sure our pantries are stocked, making sure that we have ample assets, we're in for a huge hurt. For the average person, take care of yourself. And when this stuff comes around, we can weather the storm and come out stronger on the other end.
Nicely said. Thank you, Lance Parker. We appreciate your time.
You got it. Take care.
Lance Parker checking in. Welcome back with more of Hometown Radio. First, with pleasure, I remind you that today's edition of Hometown Radio is sponsored in part by your hometown grocery store, Spencer's Fresh Markets in Morro Bay and Santa Maria. Always online at spencersfreshmarkets.com. Here are some reasons to check out Spencer's this week. On sale, extra lean ground beef or beef tri-tip or baby back pork ribs. These are all on sale for $3.99 a pound. You want another example? Fine. How about cheddar jalapeno sausage? That's right. $3.99 a pound at Spencer's. Locally grown strawberries, $1.99 a pack. Sweet white corn, two for 99 cents. Who doesn't like watermelon? You can get them at Spencer's for $3.99 right now. All this and more, so much more, only at Spencer's in Morro Bay and Santa Maria. Spencer's Fresh Markets, always worth the drive. I love what Scott says on the Stolberg Law KVC text line. Spencer's will survive and thrive. Absolutely. Shop at Spencer's, your hometown grocery store. We're proud to have them as a sponsor, the Dave Congleton Show. Let's squeeze in a couple of text messages. Francine says, California renters are protected from evictions by executive order. SLO County also included the same. Number two, listener says, no one without a real Social Security number is getting a payment. Finally, prior to the virus, landlords could be very picky. Now they'll have problems finding anyone who has the money to pay the rent. I'm Dave Congleton. Stick around. Here comes the news. Traffic, weather. Jack Keller is up next. You're listening to Hometown Radio.